and welcome to Autosave. I'm Camille Salazar Hadaway, and I'm here with my co-host, with the mostest, Mr. Nick Andrade. How you doing, Nick?
Good. Thank you for saying I have the mostest.
I mean, we don't know what the mostest is, so it could be a backhanded compliment. I don't know.
I took it as a compliment, but okay.
I mean, we'll see.
Damn.
Everyone, let us know what you think the mostest is.
Threats already this early in the episode. All right.
I like to start off fresh. And we are starting off fresh because we're taking it to the streets. That's right. The streets of Gotham, that is, as we continue our dive into Gotham Knights on last week's episode.
The court cannot forgive your failure. You will atone with blood.
Don't do this. I won't do anything.
And you, Vermin, do not belong here. The last time an intruder set foot here was more than a century ago. The punishment for this insult remains the same.
We headed to Blackgate to speak to a reformed Harley Quinn to figure out what Batman asked her to investigate for him, only to be bamboozled by the clown herself as she used us a distraction to escape. But you know what? I guess it was worth it because we found out what Batman asked her to do, and it was to keep tabs on some baddies, and we got our hands on the book that she kept all that information in. We also visited Penguin and learned that for centuries, criminals have been let off the hook for their crimes, while the witnesses got axed, murdered in the same horrific way. I don't know why I laughed there. It's horrible that they died. I just don't do well with murder. It was a nervous laugh. As we kept digging for answers, we found ourselves in a court of owls, which is led by the voice of the court, Jacob Kane, or at least we suspect it is Jacob Kane. And let's just say the cult wasn't happy to see us as we were stuck in a death trap and narrowly escaped with our lives. But you know what? We got a parting gift, a sweet owl key. And by the way, when I was like kind of going over this episode, I learned something really cool, Nick.
What is it?
Don't look at our rundown because it's in there. I want you guess what I learned. You're never going to get this.
Oh, so I don't even have any clues? I just have to up guess a random thought of what
does Batman have
out.
Clues when he's investigating? Not always. It may have to do with... No, I'm just going to tell you.
Batman is alive. That's what you found out.
Oh, no. I was actually looking up owls. Do you know a group of owls is called a parliament?
They are?
Yeah. They have their own little... ministers and everything. That's how I picture it.
I didn't know they were called a parliament, really?
Yeah. Are you gonna fact check me?
I'm not gonna foul.
I see Nick
you,
right
I'm curious.
I see Nick right now fact checking me.
Owls are parliament? Owls are usually solitary birds, but when they flock together for special occasions, they are called a parliament because they are considered to be intellectual.
Right? Oh,
that's kind of cute, actually. Yeah.
It is. They're like, oh, we do our own things. We pay our taxes. But when we come together, we are reforming ourselves. You know, we're like setting up these rules and regulations and legislations because we're a parliament.
Do you want even more now that I'm looking at this?
Yeah, give it, because I think we're on the same page here. I was going to ask you something else, but...
Were you going to ask me something else about owls or about Parliament?
Okay, now I'm curious to what you were thinking. You go ahead.
Never mind then. So it says a group of owls is referred to as Parliament, right? Owls are considered wise and intelligent, okay? In Greek mythology, owls are also known to be a symbol for Athena, the goddess of wisdom, and... The reason is because the term parliament is a collective noun for owls, meaning a count noun that denotes a group of individuals. So as we said, like they are solitary animals.
Yes.
And that's why it's because they are a group of individuals. That's so strange for a flock of birds. Wow. I'm smarter today than I was yesterday. Thank you.
Yes, you are. Someone, if we had like a applause sound effect, that would be perfect to input right now just for Nick. No, but you're right. And the reason why I bring this up, I feel like, you know, with the Court of Owls, that may actually be really reflective of the people behind the mask of the Court of Owls. When you think of a parliament, there are often people with a lot of power to kind of do as they will in Gotham. I know. Yes. But to kind of create these legislations to hopefully help their people. But essentially, they are people in power that have some sway in the government. When we look at this court, they do gather. Last episode, they gathered. You could call them a parliament. I feel like we're going to find a lot of sneaky politicians behind the mask.
I mean, that makes sense, especially how corrupt Gotham is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Round of applause for me. I hope we have the sound effects, or else it's just weird that I asked for that. We hopefully, when we're heading into chapter 3 in the shadows, we'll find out more about the Court of Owls or who's behind the Court of Owls. But first, Nick, in the first two episodes, we rated our favorite Batman games and we talked about our favorite villains. So why not continuing to just gush over everything that we love about the franchise? And let's talk Batman animations or cartoons, okay?
Ooh.
What would you say is your favorite cartoons, Batman cartoons, and maybe just a couple of them, or if you have like one that you're really a diehard of, and if there's a favorite episode within that or a favorite like film within that?
So the Batman animated series, I think, is clearly the front runner, correct?
Yes.
I mean, it's just like so good. And I mean, especially like critically, it also is like one of the best cartoons of all time. And then going back, just like Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill and all those voice actors. Just incredible. I don't know what favorite episode, but really, really, really enjoyed Batman Beyond. And I love that premise of old Bruce Wayne training up a new Batman. And this was a tech savvy in the future Batman. I don't know what year it was, but it was super cool. Love that show. And then also Teen Titans.
Oh, yeah. I guess Teen Titans is a Batman cartoon. Can be considered. Yeah.
I haven't seen Teen Titans Go, but I've heard it's hilarious and fun for adults and kids alike.
It is so funny. It is so funny. They're so self-aware of like everything. They make fun of themselves. They make fun of the original Teen Titans. When I think Teen Titans, like the original one, I do think of the whole Terra saga where, you know, she was working with Slade and the betrayal.
Yeah.
So when I think that, I think that episode. But when I think Batman, because for me, it's definitely the first two you mentioned, Batman the Animated Series, Batman Beyond. Batman the Animated Series is just that thing that was on as a kid. And like you learned so much about Batman. It was like my Batman awakening of like why this character is so awesome. Whereas Batman Beyond was like, oh my God, Batman is dark. Because I think I was so young with the animated series, I didn't really understand the depths it went through. And then they also had more limitations because it was Saturday morning cartoons, so they couldn't go that deep. But when I think of the animated series, I always remember this episode called Gotham. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you remember this, but it was an episode where all the baddies were hiding out from the police. So they're like in a, I think it's a bar or like a, somewhere, like a hideout, and they're playing poker.
Okay.
You have Penguin, Two-Faced, Killer Croc, and Joker. And the whole episode, they're just talking about how they almost killed Batman. And they're going through the different scenarios of each character. But the best part about it, spoilers, and if you're really upset about this, sorry, but it's so cool. Batman reveals himself to be Killer Croc in the end of the episode. I'm like, yo, Batman is badass. He was disguised as Killer Croc because he was in this was a sting operation. So as the bad guys thought they were hiding out from the police, all the other like characters or all the like background characters were actually police officers that then hold up their guns to the bad guys and reveal that it's a sting operation. And Batman throws a table at Joker. I mean, that to me is just like how cool Batman is.
I don't remember that episode, but I also, I've always thought about going back and watching it all again when you're a little bit older and you have, you know, different life experience and your brain has maybe developed a little bit more and you can fully grasp and understand these things. Like I did that with the 90s Spider-Man cartoon. It was very blocky, but it was still pretty fun. But I kind of want to do that for this one as well.
Batman's fun to like I've cable, so it sometimes plays for some reason late at night. So I'll just have it my TV on and then they'll be on. So like I'll revisit those episodes like when I'm cleaning or whatever I'm doing. It is like watching it now as an adult, you realize more stuff in the episode that I think they were trying to get away with. The dialogue sometimes is horrible, like because like it's made for kids, right? So I think they had to balance that line of like, okay, making it very simple so kids could understand. So like there are things where it's just like, whoa, where'd that come from? But it is still a good time to watch. I do want to share though, like the darkness of Batman Beyond. And I'm pretty sure everyone will remember this if you watch Batman Beyond. Whenever I think of that, I think of the Return of Joker movie for Batman Beyond. And the scariest part for me in that, like, you know, I'm still a kid, but this is like thriller scary, is when Joker has the Joker Jr. and you find out that it's Tim Drake as the Joker Jr. and Joker asked Joker Jr. to shoot Batman, and you see Joker Jr., because he's like brainwashed and he just can't stop laughing. He's laughing, but he's struggling to pull the trigger and then he starts crying. I'm like, this is so dark.
Oh my God. I gotta watch that.
Click the link. You'll see the in the little rundown. Click the link. You'll see the pictures here. frame by frame.
That looks creepy but as hell.
It was one of those episodes I was just like, yo, this is so bad. This is like, this is really, firstly, to have a kid Joker, right? And you don't think about it because there's Robin. So you think like a kid version of the superhero is fine. What about a kid villain? Like, that's just wrong, right? And then you just see, it's really creepy. Menacing.
I don't want to see this.
I suggest you to watch it. It was so sad. And like, literally, I think the episode or the film, one of the scene endings is like, finally, like, you have Tim Drake, he doesn't even come to his senses. He just decides not to pull the trigger, but he can't articulate because he just keeps laughing. And he just collapses, and it, like, fades to black. I'm like, what in the Chris Nolan is this film trying to do to me?
Jeez.
It's insane.
I gotta watch this. Oh, my God. And I have to watch The Phantasm. Yeah, that one is also rated as to be one of the best, you know, Batman movies ever as well.
Yeah, I mean, what DC does well is DC does their animated shows and films really well. If you have not watched any of that stuff, please do. It is a good time. Hopefully, though, some of the characters we talked about from the animated series, we will see them here in the game. We saw a few of them already, but maybe we'll see more of them in this episode because we're on the quest to find out what this owl key is. And we need to figure out where the door is for that key. So let's take a look.
Margie, the tattooed lady, would tell us stories about the court back at Haley's Circus. Used to say they were watching and they'd steal us away if we gave a bad performance. Always assumed it was just circus legend.
Not at all. There are a number of references to the court in Gotham's history, but nothing concrete. I can't authenticate any of these sources.
Supposedly some wingnut wrote a tell-all book about them. But it's a legend in and of itself, so...
Shame, really. Such a work would have made a wonderful addition to the library.
The earliest version of the court rhyme is from the 1700s.
And says they're after the Fountain of Youth.
Seem pretty kill happy for people who want eternal life.
Those aren't mutually exclusive. There were a lot of bodies in that pit.
And one of them was holding this. Might open something useful.
Our scans revealed an isotope embedded in the metal. It definitely has a match.
It's a key.
So? Let's find the door.
All right, let's find that door. For some reason, I wanted to say polka dot door, but no. It is not
polka dot door. I think we're too old. People don't know what we're talking about.
Well, I feel like I was more of a polka dot shorts kid than a door. But I knew of the door.
Well, maybe that song I sang was the shorts one and not the polka dot door. Polka dot shorts.
I think so. Yeah.
We're alienating the audience. But
I mean, hey, there may be fans of the shorts out there. Anyways, go ahead.
Do you think we'll see the crazy crackpot who wrote the book at some point in this game?
Probably. Next thing you know, it's like Bruce Wayne.
And he's alive. Yep.
He's alive. So yes, we are off to figure out what Master Bruce, that wasn't even like an Alfred voice. I don't know what that was, but Wayne, Master Bruce, because you have to sound frail, right?
Yes.
As Alfred. Anyways, what Batman was investigating and the door, if he left any clues for us and the door for that key. So we're off. We find out that we have to go to Gotham Gazette. That's in New Gotham's West End. And I don't know about you, but I had no clue Gotham had a new Gotham. Well, why don't they clean up the old Gotham? The old Gotham could be beautiful.
I don't know. It's like old Toronto and new Toronto. It's probably like the same thing, right? Like old, yeah. It's just like old Gotham, I guess. It's like the old town. But I also love how you knew like the map of this, which is like you have to go to New Gotham's West End. See the marker and then I go. I don't even know where I'm going.
But it tells you.
I know, but I'm not paying attention.
Nick,
I don't even know.
Nick doesn't pay attention.
I can't. I don't know. Like when people say like, oh, like just walk north and go this way. It's like, where's north? Which one is?
Oh, you're one of those.
Like, oh, people. We're west right now. Well, I don't know what west, north, east, and south is. So I don't know my directions that way.
You know what? I don't blame you. It's tough. The only reason why I know is because my dad growing up would be like, come on, you know what north and south is. And I'm like, no. So then every time I would ask him like which way we're going or like describe where something is, he's like, Camille, that's north, that's east, that's, and I'd be like, oh, okay, dad. And I don't know why I made him sound like a 50s dad or like a 60s dad.
I wish my dad taught me that.
Yeah. I mean, it helps when you're trying to find your way around Gotham. And in this sense, we have to figure out where the court's secret hideout is, or at least where one of their hideouts is, by using the court rhyme. So this is the court rhyme that the team was talking about that is kind of told as a like old wives tale about the court coming to get you. And we hear Alfred kind of chime into comms and he's like, all right, remember this rhyme. And before he could finish the first line of the rhyme, I don't know if this happened to you, but I was right in front of the entrance.
Honestly?
By the Gotham Gazette. I was like, oh.
Same thing. I don't even remember that he was saying the rhyme.
He was. Because we have to find the markings that shows the entrance around the Gotham Gazette of where this secret like passage is.
Yes.
And then he's like, okay, remember the Gotham rhyme is, and I'm like, oh, I'm right here, never mind. Never mind, Alfred.
I wasn't paying attention because I couldn't find the glowing door for a while.
Wait, it, like, what?
No, because you know how like I kept going too high and not, and then going but too low, like it was in like the middle of the Gazette, right? And I kept seeing, like, every time I would grapple up, it would show my, like, from, like, 20 meters, and then I'd be, oh, too far, damn it. And then I'd go back down, I'm like, oh, no, I fell down. And then, oh, no, I gotta, so it took a little bit to find it. And judge me if you want, I see those judging eyes.
Yeah, I'm judging you. You literally said, it said 20 meters. You follow the marker, Nick. follow the marker.
I followed the marker. I just couldn't find it.
So yeah, I think that just proves that Nick is bad at directions. Do not ask him where something is because you probably will miss the mark. Now, once you figure out where that door is, you actually use your AR scan to see like these glowing marks on it, which, I mean, obviously it has to be an owl. And then once you find the door, you head down a set of stairs and you go through this creepy hallway thing where you see a pedestal with documents pinned to it, and it triggers a cutscene.
Belfry, can you call up the Moreno murder case? Should be in the unsolved file.
Of course. The brother of Elena Moreno, a local judge. She took a leave of absence from the bench directly afterward for family reasons.
It was a Court of Owls hit. Let me see what else I can find out.
I feel like every time we run into the Court of Owls, there's like potentially a body on the other side of it.
Oh, yeah. Especially like how long they've been in Gotham. They've probably murdered so many people. It's also strange for me listening to these cutscenes as a different character because I'm just so used to Dick Grayson.
Oh, that's true. Yes. If you're just tuning in, which I mean, you should probably start from the first episode of the series. But if you're just tuning in, Nick has been playing as Nightwing. I've been playing as Batgirl in the previous episodes because Nick was heading them have a Nightwing dialogue.
Batgirl is better, I think. I like listening to Batgirl.
I feel like Nightwing may be a little bit more funny, though, which I like. I don't know. The grass is always greener on the other side.
I agree.
That is true. But when you actually go up to this pedestal where all the documents are laid out, you find a bunch of cards, pegs, and a map. What does this mean? I have no clue. I feel like every time I see a puzzle, I'm like, oh no. Oh no. Time for randomly guessing. But we need to figure it out to continue. And what we need to figure out is, luckily, if you pay attention to the HUD, Mr. Nick Andrade is on the top left corner where it says the objectives. So what do we have to do? We have to figure out what was the order about, what are the court's instructions, and where is the target location? Nick, how did you find this puzzle?
Okay, I kind of just like did what I normally do and I don't know. Mash a bunch of buttons together at this point. I was kind of like the ambiance of inside of this room. Like I really liked it. Like I was kind of focused on like what was going on. And I thought that like there was going to be someone around that was going to attack me, but it looked like this cool.
You were on guard.
I was, but it looked like this cool. I don't know. Like this is what I like about the Court of Owls is everything seems so like 18th century like murder mystery thing, and that's why I kind of like enjoy going through this because I don't know what's gonna happen, but like the aesthetic is very pleasing.
It is very aesthetically pleasing. I wonder who laid it out there, or I guess because it's just been sitting there for a long time, because like that's the thing I get confused with, because everything is like 18th century with the Court of Owls, and like they've been working or at this for like centuries, right? I'm like, oh okay, is this— at first, I was like, wait, is this an old case? Right? Like, yeah. That's like, we're just revisiting. I was confused for a little bit there, but then I realized, oh no, this is more present day than it is an older case. And I think like the ambiance doesn't help me with that thinking, but it is really cool either way. I kind of did the same thing where I was randomly pressing buttons, trying different combinations until I actually used my eyes, Nick. Because it's right on the paper. There's the paper, which is the instructions from the court. It has a dagger symbol on it.
Oh.
And that dagger symbol tells you the combination.
There's a bunch of these throughout this mission. And I know that I literally did like, all right, 1A, 1B, 1A, 1C, 1A, 1D. I literally just kept doing it until I found it. And then that puzzle specifically, it was the third one that I chose. So it took me forever because the process of elimination, I didn't start from the one maybe I could have. I started from the very top instead of the very left, which I think that was the key to use, was the left icon.
Yeah, the left icon. If you look at that note that has the wax insignia on it, you will see that there's a dagger, like a circle with daggers in it or swords in it. I don't know. I'm going to call them daggers. And then if you look at the cards, you'll see one that has the dagger on it as well. And then the peg that has the dagger, you match those together and bam, you've solved it. And then we find out that it's pointing west towards Gotham River.
Belfry, looks like the court gave an order to purge at the Chelsea Tunnel.
Construction on the tunnel was shut down when the site was declared unsafe.
Sounds like a cover-up to me. Whatever's down there, the Court of Owls wants it kept hidden. I'll head there now.
Take care and keep us updated.
Now we're heading to Chelsea Tunnel construction site. And this is actually something I wanted to ask you about because I believe, what was it? In God of War, when we did God of War, you mentioned that you felt like we were just going here to go somewhere else. I feel like that is a common thing as well in the Arkham games as well as right now in Gotham Knights. Is it frustrating you yet?
No. I think because there's so much like crime in the city that you can do and you can kind of go to different places and do different missions or side quests or whatever it is, I don't feel that repetitiveness of like going somewhere. And I feel like I'm still going somewhere new regardless of like we're going down the same streets, but it's still, I don't feel that at least at this point.
I don't as well. I just want to check in with you, Nick, because your playthrough matters to me. So once you kind of figure out this puzzle, you hear that you have to go over to Chelsea Tunnel construction site. This is actually where I clued in. I'm like, oh, this is a present day case we're dealing with. This isn't something that happened like centuries ago. So once you get to Chelsea Tunnel, you'll see the tunnel's main entrance, and at the air vent, you'll see like an air vent when you look up, and then you could actually grapple to get in to the Chelsea Tunnel construction site. You'll find a hole where you're going to have to jump down.
Belfry, I'm in. Looks like they hit some kind of underground tunnel. I'll probably lose comms down there. Mark my location. I'll check in as soon as I can.
Sure. Just don't make me come down there after you.
This smells like trouble to me, Nick. I don't know about you, but anytime you hear, I may lose comms, that is just a bad omen.
Yeah, usually it means we're going to face a lot of enemies and barely escape with our lives, type quote, whenever we lose our comms.
Yeah. And guess what, Nick?
What?
We ain't wrong, because we encounter a feral Talon. Now, this is an enemy that is very quick, a nuisance. And then it also does these like flurry evades, which is pretty much like consistent dodging. And they're kind of creepy as well because they're hiding in the shadows, which, I mean, that is the chapter's name. So I guess it makes sense. But Nick, how did you find this feral Talon?
Annoying because you have to use ranged attack, which I'm not a fan of using ranged attack because it's pretty clunky.
Yeah.
Although if you, once you hit them with the ranged attack, you pretty much like one or two hits and they're dead, or two or three. So they're like really weak. Otherwise, when you actually get when you stumble them or stymie them with your ranged attack.
Yeah, I felt the same. Like, I was just like, oh my goodness, will you just stay still? And then you hit them with that heavy range attack, you stun them, and then you can land some blows on them. Literally, probably three hits you have to land on them, and you're good. You defeated the Feral Talon. I just find it funny that they're called Feral Talons, obviously, because they're probably, like, uncontrollable or by the court or, like, maybe not all there.
Yeah,
they're very erratic in their movements, and that kind of creeps me out.
They're like zombies, so that's why I understand like the feral aspect. They seem just like they have rabies or something.
It's like, yeah, I'm more scared of getting their talons, like to cut my skin or something, to cut Batgirl's skin. She may turn into a zombie. Zombie survival. No, it isn't. It's Batman. And we actually have to continue on to learn more about the court. And when you do, you realize you're in a huge cave. And let me just say that this court is trying to one-up Batman, because I had no idea there was a larger cave in Gotham than the Batcave. But apparently I was wrong, Nick.
They're probably just like, hey, Batman, we got a bigger cave than you, loser. And that's why they killed him, too. It's like, now we gotta control all the cave space in Gotham.
Yeah. They're like, wait, we've heard that Batman's cave is 2,000 square feet. We got to make this at least 3.
2,000? Honestly, I don't even know the specs of that. But, like, is that big or is that small?
No, it is. It's like the size of a house. Not for a bat cave.
So this is probably like 10,000 square feet or something.
Yeah, no, 10,000 like, square feet. And they're like, we got to go 20.
I don't even think that's big enough, to be honest. I think we're
I don't think so.
I don't even know my square feet range.
You have to fit like the Batmobile.
Right.
The like all the computer stuff. Mm-hmm. Batman's workstation, because that's a huge table Batman works on.
Yeah.
You need some room to train. So we're talking maybe like 100 square feet.
You know, like rent for these caves must be very expensive.
Well, good thing Bruce Wayne is a millionaire, okay? He doesn't have to worry about rent. And you know what I'm starting to think? No one's keeping tabs on apparently anything that's happening below the ground. Like the city
never
finds the Bat Cave. Apparently never found this Court of Owls cave. So maybe they're not even paying taxes on this property below Gotham. So, I mean, it may just be the smartest way for wealthy people to just evade any taxes. Yeah, they just hide all their money in there.
In the caves.
Yeah. In the caves. But yes, I would agree. Batman's cave is cooler because it's filled with just more stuff, more cool tech, whereas this one is filled with lots of platforms and old mining gear. So we continue through and we have to actually utilize our grapple because, like I said, there are platforms. So you're going to have to grapple upwards and throughout the way you could find 2 chests in the area. Just use your AR scan to help with that. Once you go through, you'll find more feral talons and you'll just have to take them down. They're kind of creepy, but they're pretty. I don't want to jinx it yet because we're not done the game, but I think they are decent, not too challenging enemies. However, when you get a parliament of them together, see what I did there? It could get a little bit more chaotic because they're just all dodging everything. So it's a little bit more chaotic to like land that first blow. Now, as you head through, you'll see a set of doors where you'll go through and you'll find a wall that has a bunch of holes in it. It kind of creeped me out. I don't know if I have, what is that thing, like that fear of holes? Have you heard of, do you know what I'm talking about?
I didn't even know there was a phobia of fear of holes.
Yeah, I'm not looking it up because I know I'm going to get pictures.
This is called tripophobia.
Yeah, it's like where there's a lot of little holes. I hate that.
Oh, wait, no, this isn't weird. No, an aversion or repulsion to objects like honeycombs and sponges that have patterns or clusters of small holes.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So, like, this wall has a cluster of small holes, and it creeped me out.
They're disgusted by the pattern of holes.
Yeah.
Like, how does it scare you, though? Mm-mm. It's just, like, cringe or, like,
makes very you nervous? Cringe. Makes me like it's cringe, and then your body like it just like something overcomes my body where like the hairs stand up and like I just feel unsettled.
Do you remember those episodes of Maury where like people were afraid of pickles or balloons or something and they would like bring out the balloons and scare the people with the phobias? That was always hilarious.
Obviously not staged. Yeah. Well, I learned I had this phobia. I was like in the lake up. If you're Canadian, you know Tobermory. I was up there, and it's clear water, and it's also freezing cold up there. But I was in there, and I looked down because there's lots of rocks, and I was tripping out. Like I was freaking out. I'm like, this is so creepy to me. I had to like get out of the water right away. So yeah, I don't do this. I don't like this wall, and I didn't want to see it anymore. But guess what? We had to look at this wall again.
This video game, it's not just a video game podcast. We talk about our fears and our strengths.
It's
and
real
our
life
loves
over here.
And our hates. It's just, you know, this is about real life. It's not always just about the virtual life.
It isn't. We are like the real life Maury. Well, I mean, Maury is real life, but whatever. I don't want Nick bringing out like a bunch of hole pattern things. Please.
I'm already planning it already.
Ah, jeez. I knew it. But we do see this wall with all the holes on it. And we learned that the Corps has been spending a lot of time and resources mining whatever is in this cave, which is why there's so many holes in the wall. So is this the fountain of life or of youth, whatever they want to call it, that they're after? You know, they're collecting so many samples of it. But to me, what this means is it's puzzle time. As soon as I saw that wall, I tripped out a little bit and I was like, oh, there's a puzzle coming. So you have to find the samples of whatever they extracted from this cave. And yeah. As you continue through, you see a spectrographic analyzer and an X-ray analyzer. And you apparently just need your AR scan to analyze them, analyze the samples there. I thought there was like a hardcore puzzle coming. Nope. This wasn't it. Very interesting.
Where was the puzzle with all the jugs? Did we pass that already?
No, stop is that coming spoiling up? It, Nick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I like to build it up. Jeez, Nick.
I thought that was
no,
this.
It's
sorry,
okay. My bad. Nick
all
ruined
right.
it.
Okay.
Because sorry. When you head through the door that says warning extraction room, you head up an elevator shaft, and now it's puzzle time. But of course, you know that because Nick ruined the spoiler of it. It's okay. It's all right, Nick.
I was confused about your puzzle time. I thought this was the puzzle we were talking about.
Well, the first one where we saw the wall, I was like, oh,
yeah,
the,
so
that would have been a really cool puzzle. No, you just scan it with the AR and then you go over to these two machines and you're like, oh, here are the samples. Here they are.
Whoops.
Let's just analyze them some more with our AR scan. I don't know. I thought it was a lost opportunity for a really great puzzle. But again, I'm not good at solving puzzles apparently in this game. So maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
I also think that they have, I'm fairly certain we're going to see the same type of puzzles throughout the game. Like this is now the norm of puzzles. I don't think they have more expansive and experienced puzzles.
Yeah.
In this game.
What a shame. What a shame. Well, like Nick said, we do head into a new area and there is a puzzle that we actually do have to solve. There's a workstation there where you have to investigate and figure out which sample should be placed in the extractor and which chemical should be used to extract the material from the sample. How were you with this puzzle? Were you doing your random combinations, Nick?
I was, but the problem is it's so long. Like, yeah. you have to scroll through all the way to the left side to get as many flasks or whatever it is as possible. And the right one is on the third level or the third, there's the furthest one almost to the left. So to always match one with the other, I was doing each one by each until I got it. And this one took a while because I had to like scroll so far to the left and then all the way to the back to the right. And then I was like, oh, this is stupid. Like, well, I really should maybe read this thing. But I was so far in that I was just like,
you're like, you already committed.
I already committed. So I'm just like, I'm not reading. And let's be honest. If I have to read in a video game, like, I'm sorry. It's just like, sometimes I just don't want to read. Okay. I don't want to read.
Nick, do you play with your subtitles off?
No, the subtitles are on.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's...
You don't read? You never read
that? It's voice acting.
Yeah, but still, I read it.
This isn't 1996 where I have to read all the dialogue. Now I can listen to it. But I have no interest in solving the puzzle realistically where we're using my brain.
Okay.
I just kind of was just like, hey, let's just do process of elimination. But this one
hey, trying to discourage you from doing process of elimination.
Exactly.
Yes. And if you do it the way that the developers probably want you to do it, you would actually see that there's an email from A Crown to all that's just sitting on the computer screen. It's like one of the first things you'll see. And it's not really discreet because, I mean, if you're trying to figure out what the sample is, you may want to keep it under wraps, but no, Mr. A. Crown is just sending this email, blasting it to all, and then also going to do a report for everyone at the court to read up with his findings. But in this email, A. Crown talks about tinkering with old composite samples, and you learn that sulfuric acid was used to extract the material from these samples. So if you follow that, pretty much you solved it. Select sulfuric acid and old composite or composite samples. I don't think it says old. I think it's just composite samples. And then you figure out that when you put it together, it's dionysium, which is this green thing, which Nick kind of looks like other things in Batman, maybe Venom, maybe Lazarus Pit goop.
Ooh, yeah.
Really? Yeah, it's a huge mystery that's not really a mystery, but we're going to need our bat computer to really figure out what this is, so let's head out.
So you're still alive. It's clear you don't understand your place. We earned our health. We shaped Gotham into the great city she is today. We are the protectors, not you. You're just bats. And owls devour bats.
Owls, in fact, do devour bats. I never thought about this before. But I guess bats are like a part of the rodent family, and like owls eat rodents, so they do, unfortunately, eat bats.
Like, come on, though. Like, Mr. Voice of the Court, like, you aren't fighting one of us head on. So don't talk your talk and your big shot voice where you're like, owls devour bats, when all you're doing is pressing a button so that more talons can come after us. Fight us face to face, okay? Dweeb.
Okay. All right. Nick has had enough of the voice that we heard, which is the voice of the court. Jacob Kane, or so we think. And what does he mean by shaping Gotham into a beautiful city? I mean, this place has like murder thefts happening. You can't walk on the street. It looks dirty. But I mean, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, I guess.
No. This is just like, I guess it's beautiful for rich people and like people part of the court. So they think it's beautiful because they probably live in their fancy schmancy neighborhoods and don't live in downtown. True. Yeah.
Yeah, so to them, it's beautiful because they're very wealthy. I agree with you, Nick, there. We end up on this platform with a bunch of... Well, firstly, I will say there's bats flying around, which I mean, like, I feel like if this was Batman in this situation, he would have some, like, sonar so the bats, like, are attracted to him to help you in battle. But we don't have that here. Instead, we are on this platform and a bunch of feral talons end up attacking us. I mean, it isn't too difficult. And what it does lead to is an Indiana Jones style escape from the owl cave sequence. Now, everything starts blowing up around us and the cave starts to crumble. If you just keep running towards the door, you'll be okay. You'll close it behind you. You'll also see, I don't know if you caught this, but there's water that starts to, I guess, flood the cave when you close the door behind you. And you pretty much like drown all the feral talons. Gruesome, if you think about
it. Pretty disturbing, yeah.
If you turn back around and look straight, you'll see a door that you cannot enter. So instead, look up and you'll see a platform that you could grapple to. That's what I like to call the second level. So you continue through there and you'll find a ventilation shaft to exit the cave.
Belfry, you there?
We seem to have you back, Batgirl. Are you all right?
I'm fine. The court is mining some strange substance, and it looks a hell of a lot like... Belfry, you're cutting out. Belfry?
You take forever to do the simplest of tasks. We have things to discuss. Come find me.
So demanding.
Well, for the Bat family, yeah, very demanding. I just thought they'd have clean comms for the Bat family. I mean, they're tech whiz. You have $1 billion. Is Bruce Wayne $1 billion or multimillionaire? I feel like he's a billionaire.
Well, I think maybe when Batman first started, he was a millionaire. But now because of inflation and a lot of other things, he's probably a billionaire.
Billionaire. You know,
he needs to be a billionaire.
Yes, definitely. So with all of his billions of dollars, he didn't upgrade at the comms because we hear a familiar voice Talia al Ghul, who just interrupts Alfred. Poor Alfred just gets cut off by Talia and she wants us to find her. Do we think she thinks what we think about this, like, this material that we extracted? Does she think it's like part of either Lazarus or like Venom? I don't know. I don't know. We're going to have to find out.
I think she knows all of the answers already.
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course. I think so too. I think she knows what's going on. She knows everything. She knows what's happening, but we got to see her in order to find out.
I gave you back your friend, Jason.
I knew it. And I know you didn't do it as some kind of favor to me or Bruce.
I suppose gratitude was too much to expect in exchange for another stab at life.
He didn't ask for your help, Talia. None of us did.
With Bruce gone, the court's operation grows. The League of Shadows will raise Gotham to the ground unless you silence the court.
Just spit it out, Talia. You want the voice gone, and you want to use us to do it for you. But what do you get out of it?
I'll do what I can to distract the League. And your path to the Court of Owls will be clear.
I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. What did I say my theory was at the beginning? This is some Owls versus League of Shadows business.
Yeah. I mean, especially after we found out like the Fountain of Youth kind of thing, it makes sense. Yeah. Like, is this a fight for the Lazarus Pits or like what is it exactly?
I mean, maybe. And it just clicked to me like after writing out this whole rundown, after playing through this chapter,
yeah,
the League of Shadows in the shadows, the Owls are in the shadows, but also the League in Talia. So it's like goes both ways. We're not just talking about the court with the chapter name.
Interesting. Yeah. But then where does Ra's al Ghul fit into this and Batman? I'm so curious.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I have questions that we're going to have to break down a little later. But what we find out is Talia left the League. Okay. She left the League.
Left we in know, quotation left, marks.
Left. Yeah. Left. Okay. But she still speaks highly of the Lazarus Pit. Like you could see she still has this admiration for the pit and the League. She thinks they're more, their intentions are more pure or more what should be rather than what the Owls are doing. The Court of Owls is doing. She talks down about the court and how they're very selfish, right? And they're kind of letting Gotham go astray. Where really, I mean, the League and what they want to implement would also let Gotham go astray. So I'm really curious as to whether she's left the League or maybe she may be putting us astray from what her true intentions are. We also see that she brought back Jason. There's this conversation here. Yeah, where she talks about that she brought back Jason and you could see Batgirl is not having it. Batgirl's like, we never asked you to do that. No gratitude for Jason's return.
But that adds like, so he died and was that?
Yeah.
Was that in Arkham Knight as well? Was that storyline?
So yeah, he, when he got killed with the crowbar by Joker, it was Talia with the Lazarus Pit that resurrected him. But then he also transformed into the Red Hood because his mind wasn't like settled, right? Like he was still trying to find himself. He was a little bit crazy, a little bit extreme. And she kind of helped him because she felt bad for Batman because Batman kept blaming himself for what happened to Jason, which I mean, maybe he should have. Hot take. You could fight me online about it, but I mean, kind of his fault.
Okay.
I mean, okay, that's a whole nother discussion. I'm not going to get into it, but it's kind of Batman's fault. That's all I'm going to say. And Joker's, obviously. But there's also, when I was digging into Talia and Red Hood's relationship, I can't remember what comic it is in, but they also had a romantic relationship because she wanted to get back at Batman for not being with her.
This is kind of weird.
So weird things. But she did bring back like his sanity through the bringing back the Lazarus Pit because he was kind of
crazy. From her specifically?
The Lazarus Pit.
Oh, okay. I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, there's lots of history here. A lot more that I feel like maybe the game will reveal what is what in this game's universe. But we have a lot to figure out and a lot to learn about Talia. I feel like she's going to have a larger role in the game. But for now, that's kind of it. That's all we know. That is the end of Chapter 3. And right after this, we'll break down this chapter.
Hey, Alfred, did the city records turn up anything?
They didn't. According to the city permits, there's been no mining in Gotham City since the cauldron was completed.
Judging from what we found last night, they've been digging down there for centuries.
Like hell, nothing's going down there, because yes, like you heard, they have been down there for centuries, which means that the court has huge influence in Gotham. I mean, or just the city's not paying attention to what's happening under Gotham itself.
Also, we had said that, you know, the owls wanted to make a bigger cave than Batman. Well, it looks like Batman actually made his caves after the Court of Owls. So he was copying them, not the other way around.
Oh, whatever. Okay. What do they say? Like, art impersonates life or life impersonates art? Either way, you're inspired by something else, but you just make it so much better. And that's what the Batcave is. One more thing I noticed in Batman games, or just in Batman in general, the ally is always a woman, like all the time. The ally, whether it's Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, like when I even think back to the animated series, it's always a woman to kind of, I think, swagger on like how good Batman or Bruce is with women, right? And in this one, we have another girl. He's so suave. Another girl or ghoul. Talia Ghul.
Oh, that's
Talia Ghul, yeah.
Brilliant.
knowing a lot more than she's let on. But it turned, I feel like what's going to happen is she's going to become an ally. But maybe an ally, we have to like have like a 10-foot stick between us, because I don't know if I trust her. Can we trust her? The big question.
A lot of, I guess, the women that Batman associates with are usually not black and white, good and evil. They're usually like grayish area. We got Catwoman. We have Talia. We have Poison Ivy. These are like characters that are not necessarily evil, or like they all have their like reasons to do things. And they're sometimes good, sometimes not. All that stuff that we talked about, really. So can we trust her?
Sometimes good, sometimes not.
Yeah. That was good. But like, that's the thing. Is like Talia, normally she can help us, but she's always, all of those characters, they're usually helping us for their own reasons.
Yes.
So obviously Talia wants something from us and probably needs something from us. And it's just why she's maybe helping us-ish.
Yeah.
But you can never really trust her because her motives are selfish.
Yeah. And maybe she needs us because she wants to bring back Ra's. Like, maybe she wants Ra's al Ghul to come back.
But she killed Ra's.
I know, but maybe it's like that whole thing where it's like, you know, when you're a kid and you're like, oh, mom, I'm so mad. You're going to take away my Nintendo. Well, I'm going to run away. But then you pack your things and you're like, oh, I'm not going to go out there. That's scary. And then you just go back to the living room and you play your Nintendo. No? Anyone?
Maybe it's just a prank, too. Maybe Batman and Ra's al Ghul at the end of the game are like, ha, it was a prank. To help further develop your characters, losers. Yeah. We're alive. That would be the twist of the century.
Please don't let that happen. No, no, no.
And they're like YouTubers, and they're like have cameras with them.
It's like, yeah, those prank surprise camera shows or whatever they're called. I don't even know. Please don't let that happen. I will say with Talia, though, I do like her design. She kind of reminds me of Chloe from the Uncharted series, because she has like this scarf around her, and then she's wearing pretty casual clothes, where I feel like other iterations of Talia, we see her more aligned with what the League of Shadows would wear.
Yes.
Now we get back to this question. What does this reveal of what Talia knows mean for this fight between Batman and Ra's al Ghul? Like, does it shed more light on this? Does it make it more complicated? Does it change your theories onto why Ra's and Batman were fighting?
No, I really have no idea at this point. I'm looking at it as a point of like, it's the Court of Owls versus the League of Shadows. So Batman is caught in the middle. I guess maybe he was investigating the court. The League of Shadows also probably was on his butt, but he also was supposed to be their leader, but didn't want to be. Why is that the case? Does that have anything to do with the court as well, coming after him? But the court doesn't even seem that menacing. You know what I mean? The way that they've structured the court in this game so far, and we've seen the voice and whatever, they just seem clumsy, like not like really serious villains. So that's my only complaint, is like the League of Shadows are still in the shadows.
You can't take them seriously.
But I can't take these guys seriously right now.
So maybe they pulled back the veil too much at this point on
maybe
the core, or maybe we're in for a twist. Maybe what we know is not actually what is, or what we think we know and the theories we have is not actually what is. And I feel like when we head into the next chapter, hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll learn more, but we're not going to know until we head into the last chapter. That is it for this episode. I do want to say thank you to our team behind the scenes, Dylan and Greg, who helped make this episode possible here on Autosave. Nick, I can't wait to keep learning who all of the people are behind the mask, as well as what the heck is going on with Talia. But we will have to wait and see next time on Autosave.
Polka dot shorts.